while I just get this ready. But it's lovely to be speaking to you this morning. It's really wonderful. And what a wonderful time we've had already. It's so great to hear those testimonies from New Wine. That always makes me feel so joyful hearing what God's up to in all different sorts of places. So why don't we just pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for everything that you're doing. We thank you that you're here with us today. Lord, I pray that you give me your words to preach and you'd open our hearts and our ears to receive your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Great. Now, because we've had such a joyful time this morning, I want to kind of caveat what I'm saying. I'm giving you a sneak preview of my sermon this morning, and it's in two parts. The first part is actually a warning, and we need to take the warning seriously, but we're going to move from that into a really good bit of joyful news. So is that okay with everybody? Is everyone happy with that deal? Wonderful. Well, the warning part of what I'm going to speak to you today, we should probably turn to Ephesians 6:4. So let's go to Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 12. Paul says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the heavenly powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." So, the warning that I want to give you today is that as disciples of Jesus, we are living our lives on a battlefield. We are living right in the middle of a spiritual war. In the passage we've heard, Paul's quite clear about this, right? He says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." So my friends, we do have an enemy. The Satan and his followers are not an invention of history. They're not a myth meant to frighten Christians into good behavior. That's not it at all. They're a spiritual reality. They're a scriptural reality. There are, as Paul says, dark powers, authorities, and spiritual forces inhabiting the heavenly realms which are all around us. Now, I think that actually poses an interesting question because it's not something we can take for granted that we know really what Paul's speaking about when he says heavenly places. I think it's something that's a little bit alien to our culture at the moment. So what does Paul mean when he describes these heavenly realms? Well, very simply, in Ephesians, he's following a broader biblical account of creation, which more or less divides it into two. On one hand, we have everything that we see around us, the natural world, sometimes called the earth, sometimes called the flesh. It's the natural, it's that which we see, touch, and experience. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So the other part of that are the heavenly realms, the heavens. And this is a realm that is just as real, but it's invisible and unseen all around us. And there's a very simple way of looking at it, I think, which is that this is our natural body. This is our natural realm. This is what we're familiar with. This is what we see, what we can touch. And this is where we live. But the thing is, that natural reality is actually soaked in what's going on in the spiritual realms all around us. So what actually happens in the heavenly places profoundly affects us. So yes, we have this natural body, but look, it's absolutely saturated with what's happening in the spiritual realm around us. So this warning of Paul's is one that we have to take seriously, because as disciples of Christ, we are soldiers in his army. Now, soldiers are powerful, but soldiers are also a target. Being a follower of Christ means that we are targets for those who are opposed to our Savior and the coming of his kingdom. As Paul says, we face invisible powers who inhabit a heavenly realm. And this heavenly realm doesn't really appeal, I would suggest, to our modern culture, because we like what we can see, touch, prove, sense with our five senses. And I think that's the reason for Paul's warning, because we're in serious danger of becoming quite blasé about this reality. If we can't see it, we can't touch it, we can't prove it, it's easy to shove it to one side and forget that it exists. But the thing is, we can't be blasé or disbelieve about the reality of spiritual warfare all around us. Because if we do, we're going to be turning what's supposed to be a spiritual battle into a spiritual ambush that we're utterly unprepared for. And God never intended us to be unprepared. Now, our postmodern culture would love to tell you that whatever you believe is true for you. that if you choose not to believe in these heavenly powers, these heavenly places, well, that's fine. It's just not true for you. It's true for the rest of us who do believe. But the kingdom of heaven doesn't work like that. Whether you believe it or not, and here's the rub, whether you believe it or not, these things are true, and you will be affected by the spiritual things going on around you, whether you choose to believe it or not. And we need to wake up and realize that, I think. So we need God, we need the armor of God, which we're going to be talking about over the course of several weeks through this sermon series. And one thing that I kind of want you to remember is that armor, first of all, is for protection. But in preparing this sermon, I had a sense from God that what he really wanted me to tell you today is that this protection is not just for us as individuals. It's for us as a collective. The armor of God is equipment for the whole people of God to put on together and to wield together. So I should have some volunteers. Joshua, are you going to help me out? Thank you. Lucy, are you going to help me out? Is Jonathan ready to help me out, or is he still on the fence? Jonathan, how are you feeling? Okay, rain check. I need two more volunteers then, junior volunteers preferably. Who's going to help me out? Yeah, come on up. One more? Oh yeah, lovely. Great. So, I have made some shields for you. Jonathan makes our kids weapons. Don't let him preach here again. Here we go, guys. I want you to hold these. There we go. I spared no expense in the making of these fine cardboard shields. So, now, if you three wouldn't mind taking these shields and going to stand over there in a line and hold your shields up for me. Joshua, if you could just stay here for a minute. That's it. Stand side by side and lift your shields up. And Joshua, if you just stand there. So I felt God saying that actually we've got two ways we can exist as Christians. We can be disciples on our own in isolation. And we can even do a pretty good job of abiding in his presence, following him, being saturated with God. But the thing is, when we're on our own, even if we're wearing the armor of God, we're vulnerable. Because look, Joshua has his shield of faith, so I attack him from the front. He's pretty well defended. But when we're on our own and we're isolated, who's going to pick up the blind spots? When we're vulnerable around the sides, actually, we're in a bit of a vulnerable state, aren't we? That's never how we were intended to be. But there's a big difference when we're wielding the armor of God on our own and when we're standing together. So Joshua, if you want to go stand in the middle of the shield, or maybe next to Lucy. Next to Lucy. That's it. Great. So now imagine I'm the enemy and I'm on the attack again. Look, if I attack Joshua from the front, he's still protected with his shield of faith. The difference is, look, if I go for the blind spots with sneaky maneuvers, look, someone's here to protect Joshua. I can't get to him. You can give me a whack if you want. Yeah. See, and if I come here, I still can't get there. I can't get to Joshua because not only is he wielding the shield of faith, but he's actually protected by his brothers and sisters in Christ. And as we go through this sermon series, I want you to bear that in mind. That what we're learning about is not just for us as individuals, it's for all of us as a family. And that's how we were designed to be. Round of applause, guys. You can keep the shields. Your parents might not be too happy about me. Okay. Have a seat, guys. Thank you very much. So I encourage you to think about this morning. Who's got your back in the St. Mary's Shield Wall? Who's looking out for you in prayer with encouragement? Who's loving you in this family that you're standing next to? And more to the point, are you fully prepared? Are you abiding in God's presence daily? Especially, are you abiding in his word? Because if you're not standing there with your armor buckled, ready to step up and protect your brothers and sisters, that can potentially cost the whole family of God. What we do as individuals affects the whole body of Christ. So we need to be abiding in him, not just for our own sakes. It's not a selfish thing. It's for the health of the family. Now, I think we're probably quite comfortable with many of the ideas that I've spoken about today. I don't think many of us are that unfamiliar with the heavenly realms. But what I also felt God saying was that sometimes spiritual attack is not always as obvious as we think. I think many of us are probably astute enough to ask God questions when we're facing significant opposition. For example, is the constant run of illness in my family really just happening? Is the strain on my marriage as we're about to enter a new season together of life and ministry really just happening? Is all the opposition I seem to be facing as I try to seize hold of a word that I've had from God for myself really just happening? Well, if we're astute enough to ask the questions, we're probably astute enough to know that we need help. And it's in those times of adversity that we're quite comfortable going to our friends and asking for prayer, asking for help, for encouragement, right? That's something we're probably pretty good at. But I sense that actually God's telling us today that spiritual warfare is not always or even often about fighting an enemy that's right under your nose. Put it this way, victory to the enemy is not utterly destroying us, it's not killing us, because, you know, even if he could, we just go to heaven to be with our Father forever, to rejoice in him and to be loved by him. That's not victory, is it? That's defeat. No, I think often the enemy's tactics are more about imprisonment and containment. And I would suggest to you this morning that that happens primarily in the mind. The key battleground for our spiritual warfare is our mind. And we know, don't we, that the devil is a liar. Because Jesus tells us, when the devil lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Who do you think the devil spends his time lying to? Is it God? Does he lie to God? No, of course not. God's not going to believe his lies. God is truth. But Lord have mercy, sometimes we can be persuaded to partner with lies that just don't measure up to our identity and our truth in Christ. And it's this form of attack that I want us really to be aware of today. This is the second part of my warning, because this is very much true personally, by the way. We tend not to ask those same searching questions about the little subtle lies that we do when we're facing serious spiritual opposition. But I think we need to, because actually we're more vulnerable to that sort of spiritual warfare. A good example of this, speaking personally, is that I find it very easy to believe that I'm not good enough. That I'm not good enough for God. How could I be? Now that can lead me to fear. And it can certainly lead me into not walking out with the courage that God's given me to accomplish the good works that he has prepared in advance for me to do. That's dangerous. So for that, I need to persevere in the truth that my value is in God's irrevocable love for me and in my identity as his son. But that's a form of spiritual warfare that I don't always feel equipped to fight, because these lies are subtle. There's not always great big demons standing in front of me that I need to knock down. And going back to this invisible nature of the heavenly realms that I started the sermon with, often these lies are invisible. Half the time I don't even realize I'm being lied to. And that's why I need the armor of God. I need to be abiding in his presence, because when I'm so saturated with him, anything that isn't of him is so obvious. But when I'm not, that's when I'm in danger, because I start to agree in my heart with those little lies that are just not from my Father in heaven. We need to be tuned into the reality of spiritual warfare, the reality of these heavenly places, and we need to be asking the Holy Spirit to help us to discern what's going on around us every day. And I want to ask you today, what lies are you believing? Maybe you feel inadequate today. Maybe you're used to living your life in fear, and you're constantly preparing to survive a defeat rather than getting ready to consolidate a victory that's already yours in Christ. If so, you need to wake up and realize that you're fighting a spiritual battle, because you are. Don't settle for this lie. What Satan has to tell you is not your reality, and it isn't the truth. Each of you here today is God's favorite child, loved more than you can possibly imagine, and valuable more than you've ever dreamt of. Satan's lies are just there to distract you from that truth and to keep you from it. And they do not measure up to the truth of your identity in Jesus and of his identity in you. And I believe God is calling us today to step up to realize that it takes two to lie. Okay, it takes one to speak the lie, yes. But it also takes someone to agree with it. And we need to make sure that we partner with the truth of God rather than the subtle lies of the enemy. But my warning for today is done. As I said, the first part was going to be a warning. That's done, because that good news of God's love turns everything on its head. Everything that we thought was defensive, the armor being a protection so that we can survive spiritual warfare, with God's love, that all turns around. We have good news. Friends, you are loved by the sovereign of the whole entire universe. He is the Lord of all creation, including those spiritual forces of darkness. He is Lord over them as much as he is Lord over us. Therefore, we need to grasp the truth of spiritual warfare, not only for our protection, but because we are called to wield the weapons that God has given us. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds, says Paul in 2 Corinthians. Do we want this? Do we? No, okay. Colin's out. Anyone else? Do we want the power to live in freedom and glory? Yes, of course we do. But if we want it, we have to wake up and realize that God is calling us to a battle. Being a disciple of Christ, being his child, means war. This reality means war for you today. You're being called to a battle. Are you ready for it? Anything we can see, anything that we're called to in the kingdom of God is ours for our good and for the glory of God. But we have to be prepared to fight for it. So the armor of God then is what we use to fight for victory, which is already ours in Christ Jesus. We get to carry our Father's banner of authority and power wherever we go. We are clothed in his power and might. How awesome is that? We don't need to worry about just surviving. We need to be confident as we fight together to advance the kingdom of God. Because we know that we are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us, right? And we know that because we, with Christ, died to sin and rose with him, death, darkness, sin, all these powers that we've been reading about have no true power over us because of him. But we have a choice to make. We have to choose whether we want to live that truth or not. We have to choose whether we want to live as conquerors wearing the armor of God or as victims totally unprepared for the reality that's around us. And that's a choice that we have to make today, but it's also one that we have to make every day to partner with God's truth. So what I'm encouraging you to do as we go through this series, friends, is to stay close to God. For me, wearing the armor isn't really about wearing all the pieces when we get up from bed in the morning. Although, Sam, that might be the case for you, I don't know. But for me, wearing the armor of God is really about abiding in his presence. And Jesus had that way of putting it, didn't he? He said that we need to abide in him and to allow him to abide in us. So we need to stay close to God at all times, in all seasons, and in all places, because we're being called to fight courageously and with total assurance of our protection in Christ Jesus. I'd love to pray for us, so why don't we just stand to finish? Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are a loving God. I thank you that the truth of your love is greater than we can imagine, and that in you we find our protection, and we also find our confidence, Lord, to fight in your victory. Lord, I pray for protection on my brothers and sisters here today. I pray for wisdom to discern what's really going on around us. And Lord, above all, I pray for unity in our St. Mary's Shieldwall. Lord, I pray for the courage to wear the armor of God and bravely take up the fight together to advance the kingdom of God on earth as in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jonathan. I'm going to ask if the band would come up again. We're going to sing our final song. And during this song, I'm going to ask if the prayer ministry team would come up. So they'll be over by the organ at the front on my right, your left. If you want prayer this morning, please do go ask that team. And I just encourage you during this song, this morning really, is we're going to go through the following weeks looking at the different parts of the armor and how we fight, what God has given us. This morning is about saying a commitment to God of saying, actually, Lord, I want to take this seriously. I want to give myself to you. I'm recognizing I'm in this battle, and I want you to help me to be fully who you've made me to be. So if you want to pray that this morning, you might want to do it in your seat as you sing. You might want to come and pray with a prayer ministry person, or you might want to turn to someone next to you and say, do you know what? I really need to put my armor on today. Would you pray your blessing over me? And I wonder if we could do that. But let's sing together as we close.